Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope like wildfire in
Welcome to our service for Sunday, the 23rd of August, 2020. My name is Max Cross. I'm the church leader, the rector for Bedhampton Parish here in Hampshire, in England. And you are most welcome to join us this week. This week, we're continuing at looking at what God has been teaching us during the lockdown, during the COVID pandemic. And this week, we reflect on the diversity of the church. But before we move forward with that, I have some family news for you. Perhaps you do get the news sheet every week by email or pick it up from St. Thomas's. But if you don't, do let me know and I will make sure you get added to the list. This week, there's lots going on in our news sheet. We really want to say congratulations to Freya and Jordan who got married yesterday. What fantastic news that is. Freya has, and Jordan indeed, have been working in our youth work over the last year at St. Nicholas as part of Freya's placement course. And they got married yesterday. Even in these times, you see, there can be joyous occasions. And I know they're planning for a larger celebration later in the year. Unfortunately, we've only had Freya for a short time for that 1 year because she now needs to move on to another location to get a wider spread of youth work for her course. But thank you so much to Freya and Jordan for all you have done for us over the last year. And congratulations and may God bless you in your marriage. Other news we have for you. Don't forget the Bible course starts this Wednesday. And if you want to be part of that, exploring the whole story of these precious scriptures, then do get in touch with me today. Get in touch with me today and let me know that you want to be part of the Bible course, which we're going to be doing remotely over the internet from home. Do not panic about how that works. If you want to be on the course, we'll make sure that works for you somehow. So the Bible course is there as well. And of course, we're looking forward to opening up our church buildings on a Sunday for services. We're going to be starting with a 9 a.m. at St. Nicholas from the 6th of September and an 11 a.m. at St. Thomas's. More details in that news sheet, more details on the website. If you really can, do please book in for that. We've been asked by the Church of England to make sure we know how many people are coming. And so we need you to book in for that, if at all possible. You can do that again on the website, or you can do that by ringing the office phone number, or you can do that by emailing the office and letting us know that you are coming. And we will let you know that there is space for you. But make sure you don't miss out if you want to join us for public worship from the 6th of September. But of course, until then, you can continue to pray in privately at St. Thomas's on a Wednesday and a Sunday. That's from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. For the rest of August, you can come along and you can pick up a news sheet and you can have some private prayer in there as well. So do take advantage of that. And whatever you're doing, stay in touch. We have Facebook groups. We have the website. We even have that old-fashioned thing called a phone, which you are welcome to pick up and just give us a call. We'd love to chat with you. So, during these times, difficult times, it's good to stay in touch and be with one another. Well, I think that's all I have for you for the time being on news. Like I say, do have a look at your sheet and keep hold of that. But today we are looking at diversity in the church. And that's a big subject. It's been a massive part of the global communication and conversation over the last 6 months or so and beyond, of course. I think rightly, it's time for us to have a look at we as a church and how we fit in to that conversation. But of course, our primary purpose for gathering on a Sunday morning or for gathering wherever time you're gathering, virtually online, is to come to worship our God, to seek to be part of his kingdom here on earth today. And so as we do that, let's take a moment to still our minds and still our spirits as we come before a God who is keen to hear from us. Let's just take a moment of quiet, and then I will lead us in some words. And again, if you want to join in, those words will appear on the screen for you to join in with. But let's be quiet for a moment. God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." All God's creation distributed across his world, we welcome you. All God's creation distributed across his world, we are one under the banner of Christ. And we're going to do things in a slightly different order this week to the way we normally do things. And so now we're going to have our prayers as we come to worship God.
Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that we were all made for such a time as this. I thank you that we are perfect and are made perfect in your image. I thank you that each one of us was created in the image of God. We are exactly who you know we would be. How powerful you are. How majestic is your name. Help us to look to you. Help us to realize where you hold value and where you hold worth. Help us to be biased to the vulnerable, biased to the weak, and biased to those in need. How wonderful that we find Jesus in the places that we judge and that we try to avoid. Thank you for reminding us that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Help us to give up on the earthly images of wealth and success, and to see true worth in your gifts of love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Help us to turn away and put to death our images of perfection, and help us to recognize our worth as Christ sees it. We choose this morning again to live in Christ. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Lord, I thank you for our church leaders. I pray they feel rested and filled with peace. Lord, I pray for our church and any decisions we need to be made regarding opening. Guide us, we pray. I pray for our children. I pray that they are valued and loved. I pray for their spiritual teaching. I pray they have opportunity to learn of your love, to be blessed by you, and to know that they are perfect and exactly who you made them to be. Lord, I pray for those suffering now, either through sickness or bereavement. Father, finally, I thank you for the time that you have put us in and the opportunities that you have presented us with. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so we might see your power in your church today. Send your power, Lord, our God. Amen.
Thank you so much for leading us in those prayers. And now Donna and Phil have brought us another song that we can either sit back and allow the Spirit to speak to us too, or indeed, if you know the words, and the words will be on the screen, join in with. And so we now hear, "God Forgave My Sin."
God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' you to share his love as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. All power is given in Jesus' name, in earth and heaven, in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name I come to you to share his power as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live.
Thank you for that, Donna and Phil. And now we get to the point where we get to read Scripture, part of the guidance that's inspired by God for us as apprentices to Jesus here on earth. First of all, we're going to hear from Becky, who's going to read from Micah for us. And then Anne, one of our church wardens, is going to read from 1 Corinthians. And after we've heard from these two, we're going to be reflecting on diversity in the church as I break open this precious book and share with you what I think God has been teaching me during the lockdown.
The reading's taken from Micah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains, that the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusations. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I've brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, and also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of ram, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
The reading is taken from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you for that. Just before I do break open those scriptures, let's take a moment just to be still and pray for God's grace to guide us as we break into what can be a really difficult subject. So let's just pray for a moment. Holy Spirit, right now, wherever we are, would you be with us? Would you guide us? Would you open our hearts to your word? Would you open our hearts to your inspiration? Might we put aside all our defences for one moment to hear from you. Amen. Do you know, in this mini-series that we've been calling God in the Lockdown, I have been blessed to talk to you twice about different things. Firstly, the other week, I talked to you about how God had been teaching me what it means to be still and silent. God's still small voice and the journey that I've been on with that. I hope that was helpful. But this week, I think it also is a really important, indeed for me, was a paramount teaching from God during the lockdown on diversity. Perhaps one of the biggest evils of our time, or indeed all time, has been this idea that those who are different from us are separated from us. They are other. They are other than us. And as such, are inferior, evil, to be feared and shunned. Making someone other than us is the beginning of discrimination. And to parallel one of our sacred texts, discrimination is the root of all sorts of evil. You may not have seen a video that I shared during the lockdown after the death of George Floyd, talking about a particular kind of discrimination, racism. I shared during that video of my fears of how people would receive my comments. Those fears have not abated. After all, I am a white, middle-class man from southern England. The idea of me understanding discrimination is almost laughable. How could I understand how someone feels when they receive discrimination because of the colour of their skin or even because of their sex? And then, of course, there are the words that we use. Words that have the potential to hurt. Indeed, even from my last video that I talked about, I received a comment from someone who was white themselves, who said, simply by using the words people of colour, I was being racist. Whilst people of colour received those words perfectly well. It would seem to me that to tread into this minefield of diversity is ridiculous, and it would be an idea to avoid it at all possible costs if you have an ounce of sense in you. Except, of course, that avoiding discussions around diversity, avoiding discussions around exclusion, have brought us to where we are. And one of the things I have learnt during lockdown from God is that where we are in regard to diversity in the church is not within the kingdom of God. And so before we go another step further, let me say to you, if by my ignorance or by the words that I use, I upset anyone at all for any reason, please excuse me and forgive me. I ask that you look and see the heart behind me wanting to share this with you. And I ask that you remain part of this journey, part of the conversation. So with that in mind, and with all that said, we begin this journey. And I begin it in fear and trembling, knowing that we are stepping onto holy ground. Where, I wonder, do you begin this journey with us? Perhaps you are the one who feels discriminated against because of race or sex or sexuality, social background. Perhaps you are the one that feels that you don't fit into church. Maybe you've even stopped looking because of the way that the church represents Jesus and you can't find yourself in and amongst that. Perhaps you are the one who feels othered. Or maybe you have other ideas. Maybe you're wondering, don't all lives matter? Or perhaps you think that the pendulum in, for example, feminism has swung too far the other way. Maybe you have many questions and ideas and thoughts, but are too afraid to share them for fear of offending someone else. Well, there are good answers to many of those questions. If I'm real with you, I won't get to all the answers today. Partly because we don't have time, but partly because I don't have all the answers. However, they are there, and there are answers. And if we are open with one another, if we are open to the idea that we may be the ones who are wrong, if we are open to the idea of change and open to God's Spirit speaking both to us and through us, we will get there. So let's begin this conversation today. Let us begin this talk of what it means to be a diverse church. This book or collection of books we call the Bible is a journey of uniting all people into God's kingdom under the banner of Jesus. It starts off by being a story of a world of the other. We read a lot about, I'm from this people group and you're from that people group. You're different to me. Stay away. And then Jesus enters the scene to show us what it means to live within the kingdom of God. And he reveals that part of this is to remove the separation of people. And Jesus teaches there is no other. Whether it is welcoming the woman at the well into God's kingdom, even though her own community, her own people have shunned her, or whether it is healing the demoniac, those with leprosy, those who the community have shunned, whatever it is, we see that actually Jesus says there is no other. He heals all those with spiritual separation. He heals all those with physical separation and says, come into the kingdom of God. He removes otherness. Jesus even gets very angry about otherness when we see him say things like this. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. He explodes about that. Why? Because people like me are separating people from God, are creating otherness. They're saying you can worship God here, but not you people over there. And he follows those words with the idea that actually it's not those that will be separated from the kingdom of God, but those who separate people from the kingdom of God, who themselves will be separated from God. I asked some friends to share with me what they felt about diversity. And a black friend shared this. The kingdom of heaven is filled with diversity. God loves the nations and culture and different things. He created it. Wouldn't it stink if you go to heaven and you were so shocked of how colourful it was because you never got to experience the fullness and beauty of differences here on earth? It's our responsibility to unite heaven and earth. It's our responsibility to unite heaven and earth. It's our responsibility to see God's kingdom come now. Oh, it so reminds me of what God would say true worship is. We heard that earlier on from the book of Micah, don't we? Chapter 6. The story of God's people there who had themselves separated themselves from God, but who God continued to love and rescue. And God is saying, come on in. And the question, of course, becomes, how can we thank God? What is true worship of our God? That he loves us even when we separate ourselves from him. Do they build a big church building? Do they bring hordes of offerings on a Sunday morning? God says, that's not true worship. True worship is to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. True worship is to worship when you see injustice by acting. To act on injustice is worship. To worship when you see a lack of mercy by being merciful. To be merciful is to act and worship. And true worship is to walk with Jesus humbly such that you are not the most important person in the room. That's what we read. That is true worship. Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. Do you know, I feel like it should not need to be said that God's kingdom is inclusive and welcoming. It should not need to be said that God's kingdom welcomes everyone. And yet, the evidence is that the church has not received this message yet. And the evidence is that we do not truly worship God in that way, in a diverse way. And until we do, we won't see God's kingdom come to our churches. And so what is our response? What is our response as disciples and apprentices and as a church body, wherever you are? Well, to walk humbly with our God means that our response, I believe, has to be twofold. First, as God's church here in Bedhampton or wherever you are worshipping and living, we have to act humbly together. Here in Bedhampton, our community may not seem that diverse. For example, our nearest town, Havant, there are only 5% of the population that would say they were not white British. That compares to 20% nationally in our country. Now that in itself brings questions of justice and race, doesn't it? Why do we find that the majority of people of colour congregate, live in our cities and our large towns? Why is that? It doesn't feel like it's justice to me that they congregate in perhaps some of the poorer areas of our country. And so what do we do? Do we ignore that then? Do we say, well, there's only 5% in our area that wouldn't call themselves white British anyway, so we don't need to be that diverse a church? Well, if I'm honest, I don't see that we are that diverse a church here in Bedhampton. I don't know what it's like where you are. But here, I don't necessarily see those with disabilities. I don't necessarily see a spread of race. I don't necessarily see a spread of the social economic spectrum. We all look pretty much the same, don't we? We all look pretty much middle class and white. Not everyone, of course. But our church is not that diverse. Now, are we simply a product of our community where we are? Or are we propagating that social injustice through our welcome? Another black friend of mine said this relating to race, but I think it's true of all those that would struggle to cross our church building thresholds. They said, if you want black people to come to the church, You need to explore and challenge yourselves. Black people are not asking for you to be perfect and not make any mistakes, but to not be avoidant and to be clear about where you stand. Silence is just as hurtful sometimes. The congregation need to be challenging their own thought process, opinions, and doing it all with an open heart. Being okay with being in the wrong and knowing that you've been in the wrong. Treat racism, they say, like you would any other sin, and seek true repentance in it. Turn from it. If we want to see people of colour, if we want to see a spectrum of people from Bedhampton in our church, then we need to go to the woman at the well. We need to go to people who are different to us. We need to seek to look at what we need to do as a church to make them feel welcome, should they dare cross our threshold. But more importantly, we need to go to them. We need to understand what we as a church family can do to allow others to discover justice and hope in Jesus. And yes, we need to repent, to say sorry for the times that we have not walked humbly with our God. Hold on a moment, you might say. Hold on a moment. I'm not the racist one here. I didn't start all that. I've not excluded people. And I can understand how you might feel that. Certainly, before I did much more study in this area, I would have said the same thing. But let me read you this hard-to-hear response from one of my friends again. Because white Christians are the leading people of faith and power, it is ultimately their responsibility to reconcile the pain they initiated and perpetuated for centuries. This makes a lot of white people uncomfortable because it's placing responsibility on them for something they didn't personally do. However, through and through, the Bible highlights the need to prefer the other over ourselves, the need to love the other as we love ourselves, the need to protect and love the underdog and the marginalized. We're not saying that you were personally responsible for enslaving people, but we are saying that we would like acknowledgement that you know that happened and you're wanting to change the pain and trauma created a long time ago. The pain and trauma that I've learned carries on today. Sin has consequences. Has consequences on people groups as well. Even when those who are now in those people groups were not the ones that initiated that sin. Perhaps that's what the Bible talks about when it talks about generational curses. That sin that happened before us can impact us today. You see, we don't read in this collection of books that we are to act justly only towards those we have been unjust towards. Quite the opposite. Jesus instructs us to love all people. And as we were reading from 1 Corinthians earlier, we can't say to the smaller sectors of our society, we don't need you. We can't say to those that on the surface seem weaker than us, we don't need you in our family. If we do, we exclude a big part of the church, a big part of the body of Christ. God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. But its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Each one of the people that don't cross our threshold is a part of our church we are waiting to become. And so as a church leader here in Bedhampton, I will lead us in a way that seeks to represent the whole of the body of Christ here in Bedhampton. No doubt we'll get things wrong, won't we? We'll muck up. We'll say the wrong words. We'll forget people. But we won't do that anymore because of ignorance. and we won't do that anymore because we're remaining silent. Well, that is our response as a corporate body. What is our individual response? What is our individual worship of God? Well, let me give you one final quote from a friend. It's important to diversify your life so that it resembles heaven here on earth. How does your life, how does my life represent God's kingdom here on earth? Or perhaps, much like me, the people you hang around with look a lot like you, act a lot like you, live in similar homes to you. Perhaps they drive similar cars to you. Perhaps, like me, they just mirror you. How can we hope to become a diverse church if all we do is speak to and listen to and have community with those who think the same way we do, who look the same way we do? And so, friends, as your act of worship this week, let me strongly encourage you to do two things. Firstly, find someone that doesn't look like you and seek to get to know them better. Seek to become friends, if you will. A different ethnic background, perhaps someone from a different economic background to you. Just someone who doesn't mirror you as you are now. Seek to get to know them. And then secondly, let me challenge you to do some reading in this area, to educate yourself on diversity and particularly around race as well. Now, I'm not saying you have to become best friends with that person that you seek to get to know better. I'm not saying that you have to agree with the material you'll read. But what I am saying is, if we dare ask the question, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? If we ask that question, I'm pretty sure his answer would not be a closeted monochrome church. So join me in continuing this journey of discovery of God's vast, widespread, multicoloured, messy, true church here in Bedhampton. Join me in that. And as we begin to come to the end here, let me say this to you. I couldn't possibly answer all your questions on diversity. Indeed, that's not my goal. And I don't even know all the answers. But I know that we can do it together. I know that we can continue that journey today. However, if you would like some reading material, or if you have some ideas on how we become a more diverse church, then do get in touch with me. I would love to hear and have that chat with you. But as I finish, let me share with you something that's happened only in the last week. A Holy Spirit nudge, if you will, before I brought this subject to you. As I was sat only there in my chair the other day, I received that nudge. I was reminded it was Jesus who told the story about himself, no doubt, of the shepherd who left the many to seek the one other. If ever there was a moment to understand that story, it is now. If ever there was a moment for us to look for the other, it is now. If ever it was time to find the one segregated from God's flock, it is now. Let's take a moment to be quiet and reflect upon what is a really tough subject. Wherever you fall in this situation, let's take a moment to ask ourselves the tough questions of where am I in that? Where have I not welcomed people? Where have I excluded people from God's church? We'll be quiet for a moment to allow that to happen. And then I'm going to lead us in some prayers and some repentance as well. And can I say that if at all possible, if you feel you can do it, please join me in those prayers. Let's be quiet and allow God's Spirit to minister wherever you are right now. And so we bring before God the areas that the Spirit has prompted you about, seeking to be forgiven and receiving His forgiveness that we know we can receive as we repent, as we turn away from our sin. As ever, there'll be some words on the screen which you are most welcome to join in with. Gracious God, we thank you for making one human family of all, of all the peoples of the earth, and for creating all the wonderful diversities and cultures. Enrich our lives by ever-widening circles of fellowship and show us your presence in those who differ most from us. From the bondage of all actions that deny the humanity of every human being and the prejudices within us that deny the dignity of those who are oppressed. Lord, set us free. Lord, have mercy. For those of us who have been silent and apathetic in the face of intolerance and bigotry, both overt and subtle, public and private, Christ, set us free. Christ, have mercy. For the thoughts that bind and the arrogance that will not recognize the work of your Spirit in all peoples and cultures, Lord, set us free. Lord, have mercy. Break down the walls that separate us and help us to find that unity that is the fruit of righteousness and will enable us to become your beloved community. Empower us to speak boldly for justice and truth and help us to deal with one another without bitterness, working together with mutual forbearance and respect. And work through our struggles and confusion to accomplish your purposes. O God of unconditional love, you who show no partiality in respect to people or nations, we have heard your good news of great joy for all the people. We hear that good news and in hearing believe. We know that your sanctuary is a house of worship for all people. As we worship you, knit us into one people, a seamless garment of many colours. May we celebrate our unity, made whole in our diversity. God, who is rich in mercy, loves us even when we are dead in sin and makes us alive together with Jesus. And by the grace you have been saved, in the name of Jesus, God, strengthen you with the power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Can I say, I know this is a tough subject for many people, as I've already said. And if you want to have a discussion about any of what I've said today, you know how to get hold of me. Do reach out. But let's move forward as a diverse church here in Bedhampton. We're going to sing now our last song together. We'll allow it to wash over us. Build your kingdom here.
Come set our hearts up.
For joining us this week. I hope this has been helpful in your walk with Jesus as you apprentice to him. And as I've always said, do reach out to me if you have any questions. Don't forget to join us this Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. for prayer. You can find details about that on the website and on the news sheet. Don't forget about the Bible course starting this Wednesday. Contact me today if you want to be part of that. And don't forget to sign up if you hope to join us for a service where we meet in St. Thomas's or St. Nicholas from the 6th of September. That's our first service on the 6th of September at the 9 a.m. or the 11 a.m. Do book in with that. But now, my friends, as you go to be church wherever you are, as you go to be a diverse church in a diverse world, let me pray for us as we go. And may the God who created a world of diversity and vibrancy go with us as we embrace life in all its fullness. And may the Son who teaches us to care for strangers and foreigners go with us as we try to be good neighbours in our communities. And may the Spirit who breaks down our barriers and celebrates community go with us as we find the courage to create a place of welcome for all. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Have a fantastic week.
Freely, freely you have received.